Well, I think everybody has been here for the series, but just in case we have somebody new, and if we get out of sync up here, just holler at me. I tried to put notes to myself to say when we're going to change. But just in case somebody here that hadn't been here, we are covering a video series. It's called When Helping Hurts. It's based on a book that was written by the same name, How to Alleviate Poverty Without Hurting the Poor and Yourself. And one of the things that I've been wanting to bring out about this series, it is centered around the issue of poverty, and certainly we have a little bit of that going on, but you could take the same principles that are part of this course and also apply it to situations with disability. And so when you listen to this, don't think only of the poverty angle, but also consider it from the disability angle. And what's our goal? And don't worry, as soon as we get to the video part, I'll unplug that so we won't have the big loud clicks. I need to have them to know what's going on.
Transformation.
Goal is transformation, right. Just to summarize, it's to help us all reach our purpose together. Now, we want to go through a review briefly, because it's hard to keep all this in mind. And we come here, we're hot, we're tired, and some of us might even get a little nap in while this is going on. So we're just going to review real quickly what we've already gone over. First of all, we need to recognize the meaning of poverty. That there is more than one kind. There's two groups involved. We have the poor, or the disabled, and the non-poor, or the non-disabled, if you want to put it that way. But the problem that we all face, regardless of what challenges we face, whether it's poverty, whether it's disability, whether it's ability that makes us proud, is that we suffer from broken relationships with self, with others, with God, and with creation. But when we see God at work, there are different ways in which we can work together. And I'm not doing this very well, but we're working together to reconcile our relationships in those four areas that we talked about. And we need to understand why good intentions are not enough. It's certainly admirable, and I think a lot of policy gets developed this way by people who mean well and really want to help. But the problem is what we're doing doesn't help people. It actually hurts people because it takes away from them the tools that they need to go out and to help themselves. All poverty is not created equal. We talked about the three stages, if you will. The emergency relief, which is entirely appropriate. The rehabilitation, where you go ahead, you get back on your feet. And then the development, where you keep going. And you don't stop. So let us join God's work together. There are two types of development that we can be involved in. We can be involved in the needs-based, which focuses on, this is what I need. But the better way is to focus on the asset-based, which is, what has God given me? So now we'll move into our new section, which is Time for Change. Fostering Change, I think, is the title. And as we read this, she put a couple of verses here, talking about from Ecclesiastes, and I think the King James Version is up there.
Am I page behind?
Yeah.
It didn't move when it clicked
the
last time.
Yeah, now
you're right. Okay, here we go. Now I've lost my place. Okay, yeah. There's a time appointed for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven, is the way the New American Standard puts it. And then it says, And he has made all things, the New American Standard puts it this way, he has made all things, or he has made everything appropriate in its time. Of course, we know the King James Version that she's written up there, he makes all things, there's even a song, he makes all things beautiful in his time. But as we watch the video, be thinking about the fact that God's timing is perfect.
Pause here and watch the video below.
Praise God. So you see, I think, just from watching that, how it can be applicable, even across and translate into the things that we do. And now I'm going to find some place. Yeah, there we go. Because it really does come down to this. The Holy Spirit has to get a hold of our lives sometimes. He has to, however we get there, and especially when it comes to, and every aspect of our lives has a spiritual component. So a lot of times I think what we need to do is focus on that spiritual component and provide every opportunity, provide truth, provide every opportunity that we can for the Holy Spirit to move in someone's life. And to move in our own lives, we can't forget that realization that we all have broken areas in our lives that need fixing. And that we all perhaps can look at this continuum that was spoken of and go from the place of, well, I don't see any problem, to, you know, I think something needs to change here. We talked about those triggers for change.
When
you don't want to change, what's the one trigger to entice them to understand to make them change?
Help them.
The Lord has to.
And it often comes down to that, I think, that I don't know what I did here. I think it often does come down to that, that the Lord has to move in their heart. To cause that willingness to be there. But, you know, he talked about those three triggers, which somehow have lost, dropped out of my notes. But, you know, either circumstances force you to change, or you start to realize that you don't like where you are, you just come to a place of realizing that there's a better way. And obviously that's the best way to have change, rather than have it forced on you, just come to that realization. That,
yeah, because if you're forced to do something, you're not going to like it. It's going to be bad anyway.
It's going to. We really do have to consider that. It has to be something that we are in one accord of in our body to realize that we cannot. We're not doing anybody any favors when we jump in and we provide assistance that, yes, appears to be needed, but in fact, there's not a real emergency here. And if somebody goes without something for a little while, they're probably not going to die. And they need to get to a place themselves where they're willing to take the steps that get them into a better situation. And we've seen that. We've seen it go both ways. But we have to be conscious of that as a body. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I think about it, to be tried, maybe we need to pray for the right thing on our part. We need to pray for that person to see the change that needs to be happening, and for us to have the right words.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I hope that has sort of been helpful to sew things up a little bit, and then I think our final session is next week, and hopefully Linda will be back and rearing to go. Let's just end with a prayer. Lord, thank you so much for taking us in on this journey. And I know for Linda and I, it has been a journey ever since we started thinking about the ministry. In the first place, every step of the way you show us something new and something new and something new. And I believe that you're also doing that, even in the life of this church, as long as it's been here and as wonderful it is, there are still things that we can learn. There are still ways that we can grow. And we thank you for showing us those ways to help us become even more of what you want us to be in this city, in this neighborhood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.